Welcome to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books.
My name is Jill.
And my name is Michael.
Catch us every other Wednesday talking about books, publishing, indie bookstores, chatting with authors, and so much more.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Book It Pod for more Book It content.
Want to read something you heard about on today's episode? Visit us at bookshop.org/shop/BookItPod.
Jill, how are you doing?
Well, I'm getting over a cold. We survived a pandemic without getting COVID, and then our entire family was taken down by a cold.
The moment you were fully vaccinated, you got a cold.
Yes, that is true.
That's terrible. I feel so bad about that. But it's you're okay. On the mend.
We're on the mend.
Yes, yes.
And I have to tell you, especially because we weren't going out.
Yeah.
Something happened and it's a total gotcha. And you were right. And I was wrong. And I've been so excited to tell you this story for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah, this is all of the information I've had about it. And I have been racking my brain to know what I could possibly have been right about.
So, you know, past me was very proud of my system about I read a book and I send it out into the world and I never see it again.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was patting myself on the back about it, and I'm pretty sure I told you that your way was like not good and made me feel just like so uncomfortable and too much things.
Yeah, I remember the bad times.
Sure. Current me ran into some complications because of this deeply rooted opinion. We have been filming these weekly videos to support the podcast. When you give away all the books and you're not physically located in the bookstore, you don't have them to make videos.
That is correct, Jill.
Yeah. 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 So I can't give people books until I'm 1,000% sure now I'm never going to need it again.
I love that.
I don't.
Yes, I'm so glad. And I think that this brings us even closer together, because that's what I was saying was like, I definitely have more books in my house than I will probably ever reread. Like, there are books that I'm holding on to that I could probably get rid of. But a lot of them I hold on to for this reason. Like, we are in the book world. We've chosen to move down this road professionally. And if I don't hold on to them, if I let them go 2 weeks later, I needed it. And I would just like appreciate if our producer would put in like a round of applause soundbite for me.
Yes, yes. So I am going to say I was wrong.
No, you just saw the light.
I suppose.
Because I do think that there's a middle area where like I could definitely get rid of some.
Now. I need a new system. Like, I don't know.
I hear you, especially because we record so ahead.
Yeah.
That like once we're done, quote unquote, done with a book, you want to give it to someone to read. But then that episode might not come out for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then when you go to do a video that's like sort of based around the theme of it, what do you do?
It has happened twice in the last two or three weeks. I need a book that I have given to someone.
I can't help you there.
I know. It's all my
I
fault.
Wish I could, but also I'm really glad I can't.
That's fair. That's really fair. So, speaking of books, I'm excited for this week's episode. We are doing What Are We Reading Now? Like, no specific theme, just like, what are we reading in the last little bit? Have you liked it? Have you not liked it?
Yes.
What's up?
I love that we're doing this. We did this in season one, and part of it is because so much of the podcast is a lot like a book club. And like book clubs, I am in a book club. I'm also reading books outside of that book club, and I love to talk to you, Jill, about books that I'm reading that don't have to do with the podcast, and I love talking to our listeners about books that I'm reading that aren't subjects about the podcast or anything, because we are we started this podcast because we are readers, and I love catching up with you about just like what I've been reading the last couple of weeks, what I'm liking. I almost said what I'm not liking, but why would I share that? This is joyful. I only want to talk about the books that I'm loving. And but like, to be fair, this year, we've talked about this, most of all of the books I've read this year, I have loved. There's been like two that have been fine.
Yeah.
But everything else, I'm like, this is the best year of reading I've had already in a long time.
2021 is wild. I got to the end of April before I got to a book that was just kind of like, meh.
I know, it's been a perpetual sunrise, and then just a little bit of clouds. But I agree. All of the books I've been like, I can't keep doing this. I need one to suck.
I know. Like, how is every book you read like in the top 10?
The best book, I know.
Yeah, it's I don't know how we're gonna do our best of at the end of the year, because I feel like it's gonna be very full.
Oh, it's gonna be a top 20, top, I don't know, top 40. Isn't that like pop? Top 40
or like something. Casey Kasem?
Yeah, is that that's what still I'm thinking a of.
Thing? Yeah. probably not. Is he alive? Well, who knows?
That's what I was going to say. Like, I don't know. RIP. Jill, I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
By the time this comes out, it's probably halfway through the year. Before we get into what we're reading now, how has your reading looked this year in terms of the books you're choosing to read in relation to what we were choosing to read in 2020?
It's totally different.
Me too. Mine is totally different.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't read a memoir at all.
Yeah. That's weird.
And I've read very little. I devoured one after another. Really light fare. Really like, please don't challenge me.
Yes.
And I have read things I would never pick up on my own. And books that were hard and challenging. Mm-hmm. Lots of things I didn't do last year.
Me too. I realized in this year that all of last year, well, not all of last year, but the books that I was choosing to read on my own were pretty light. Mm-hmm. Were and if not light, definitely had a happy ending.
Yeah.
And I think we took to heart in our season two premiere, we talked about how one of our goals was to read books that challenge us, and I think that's all we've been doing. And that has reminded me that books can challenge you and also leave you feeling uplifted or hopeful. It doesn't have to be all English cottage bookshops and gaze by the ocean. Like, it can be like real world shit and hard to read, and then I
need an official genre called English cottage gaze by the sea.
That's it. I will write that for you, dedicated that to
sounds
Jill.
Amazing.
Yeah, that it's also just like the dream life.
True.
Yeah. True. It's a dream life for you too, to be a gay by the ocean.
I mean, I'll stand next to you. You'll be the gay by the ocean, and I'll just be adjacent to you.
And you'll hold my rainbow umbrella.
Yes. There you go.
Okay. Let's get into it. I'm so excited to hear what you've been reading lately. We've actually not really talked about this.
I know. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? What do you want to do?
Why don't you kick us off?
Okay. The first book I wanted to talk about is The Husbands by Chandler Baker.
Mm, I love that name too.
I do too, right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize until after I finished it, she's the author of The Whisper Network.
Oh my gosh.
Right, which I really liked. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I didn't put that together.
Me neither.
So the main character in this one is Nora, and she's a lawyer who's married with one child and one child on the way. And she's just like absolutely drowning in housework and emotional labor for her family. You know, she's the one who makes the doctor's appointments and packs the lunches and knows where the paper towels are and on and on and on and on and on. And it's not that her husband doesn't work hard. He comes home from work and he's as tired as she is. But she can't help but wonder, like, why does it seem like she's working harder than he is?
Yeah.
So anyway, they go to this open house because they need a bigger place, and she meets her prospective new neighbors, and they're all these amazing women. So tech CEO, a neurosurgeon, an award-winning therapist, a best-selling author, and they all have these like amazingly supportive husbands who engage in helping with the children and around the house. And she's like, oh my gosh, like what's this is fabulous. And through a whole series of things, she kind of, they become friends and she's going to buy this house and blah, blah, blah. But she discovers, of course, that things aren't always what they seem. So this one has kind of a Stepford Wives vibe.
Okay.
But flipped around.
Okay. I'm with you.
I think most working moms will definitely identify with Nora. But it's just a fun, it's a mystery, a critique of modern motherhood, like wrapped in a suspenseful story. And it manages to be fun, but also like super gripping and engaging at the same time.
And intimate, it sounds.
Yeah. I just really, really loved it.
I think what is so fascinating to me about this is the those her feelings of why does it feel like I'm doing more? Because those things that add up to probably make it that she is doing more is a lot harder to quantify. And I like those conversations a lot because it's those tiny things that make up an entire day that can exhaust a person that then is really hard to navigate. Like, why does it feel like I'm doing more? Oh, it's because I am.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. It's been a bunch of years now, but like Mark and I had this whole like big, you know, come to Jesus meeting about this at one point, because it's like my head cannot be full of like when everyone, including your spouse's teeth, need to be cleaned. Like there's no room up there for other things. And this is not working for me. But that is, I mean, studies show that is the experience of so many working mothers. And so I feel like right off the bat, I was just so engaged with the premise.
Right.
But the story is really nice too. And it's the truth is kind of comes out in drips and drabs. There's a twist. And it's just the whole time. You're just like, want to know what's happening.
How old are the – she has a child on the way. How old's her first child?
2 or 3.
Okay. So it's interesting because right before we were recording this, we were talking about a situation you were recently in with one of your kids. And you were saying like, why am I the one that has to do this? I don't know anything about this aspect. Yes.
I took one of the boys to get a new haircut. Yeah. And I don't know any of the boy haircut words.
And this was the first time he like chose his own haircut.
Yes. Normally I just take him in there and I'm like, I don't know. He looks like a Republican senator from South Dakota. Yeah, no, he has been growing his hair out, and he was telling me that he didn't want long hair, but he wanted long hair on the top and short on the sides. And I was like, okay. So I wanted to find some pictures that he could show the stylist. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this – so to be clear, I do not know if boys do this when they get their haircut. That's what I do when I get my haircut. Sure. So from the start, I don't even know if that's how you communicate at a boy haircut.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm the person taking him. So, it was this whole thing. So I'm like Googling, finding all the pictures, and we get there and you just feel stupid. Like, I don't know any of these words. And she's talking about like clipper length, and I'm like,
And then having to try and explain that to him.
Yes. And then she was like, well, does he want it faded in at the top? And I was like, I did know what that meant.
Sure.
Only. This is hilarious. The only reason I knew what it was the disastrous home haircuts during lockdown.
During COVID. Yeah. Okay, great.
I can't fade. So that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we pay someone else too.
Exactly. That's why everyone looked crazy. So it's definitely. I don't know who the appointment was more stressful for, like me or him. And
it's an interesting juxtaposition because in the book, since her child is like 2 or 3, it's easier. I would imagine it feels more natural to tally up those small moments that make up a day of doing a lot for your child. Mm-hmm. But then when your child is getting older and then starting to make their own decisions, that role shifts to that work still being done, but like with the child. And it was just interesting to hear you talk about that story right before introducing this book.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it's one that a lot of people will identify with.
Yeah.
And it's fun enough that if you wanted to take this like on your vacation,
oh,
you wouldn't be weighed down by the premise. It wouldn't be like, oh yes, it's what my life is like.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Yeah. What do you have?
The first book I have is, it's called Last Night at the Telegraph Club by Melinda Lowe.
I want to read this.
Yeah, you really, really want to read this.
Yeah.
It's lesbian YA historical fiction, and it follows 17-year-old Lily Hu. She lives in Chinatown in San Francisco in the 1950s, and it takes place sort of before and after when queer people were legally allowed to start meeting in public places like gay bars and gay clubs and that sort of thing. But of course, it didn't stop police raids for made up reasons just so they could raid these places.
Sure.
But Lily, like I said, she's 17 years old and she's grown up her entire life in San Francisco. And the heart of the story, it really is her queer awakening. And something that I love about this story is that she starts to realize she has feelings for girls the way she's quote unquote supposed to have feelings for boys. But something that I love about this book is that she doesn't define that for a really long time. And I think it's because, not because she doesn't know, but because she's not ready, even though she's actively aware of these feelings she has. And I totally relate to that. I, even after I came out, I was like, would make other people say that I was gay. So I didn't have to say it myself, even though I was like pursuing relationships with men. And I just think that's a weird nuanced part about coming out. Is like the title you are finally proud to have. So that's a little bit of part of it. But mostly it's about this friend she has, Kath. And they've been in classes together since they were really young. Kind of always orbiting around one another's circles, but never really entering them. Lily tended to have only Chinese friends. Lily is Chinese American. And Kath is a white girl. And so their friendship is kind of, it stands out. Like their blossoming friendship already stands out because this is the 1950s. And Lily feels a pressure to keep Kath at a distance. Mm. But they're both really smart young girls. They're in all of the accelerated classes together and they always have been. And they both have really big goals for their lives, sort of in the science fields and math fields. And this, again, this is at a time where like going to college at all for a woman should have been enough, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And they want more than that. And so they have this friendship. Lily's starting to realize, I think these feelings I have for Kath are romantic. And they never really explicitly say that to one another, but they understand because there are these rumors from Kath's past that one of Lily's best friends warns her about, and her friend is very toxic. And that's another part of the book I really like. Not that she's toxic, but that they explore toxic friendship.
Sure.
So through like the non- defining of it, Kath invites Lily to the Telegraph Club one night, which is a lesbian club, to see a male impersonator who Lily saw a photo of in a magazine and has like idolized as a celebrity. And from there, they play this song and dance of we're friends, right? Like that's what we are. That we're nothing else, but I really like holding your hand and I really like going to this lesbian bar with you. I don't want to say more because a lot happens after that that is important, but weighted as you read it. And ultimately, though, I think that a book ends with a necessary hope for young queer people, especially young queer girls. And I loved it so much. It was so detailed. It was in the same way that I talk about, I like books that like where nothing happens.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot in YA. There's always like a really specific plot or point that we're getting at. And I never really felt that reading this. It felt just like this young girl's story who is realizing she is part of the LGBTQ community. And then within that, becoming comfortable with it, finding her voice in it. And then certain incidents happen. But at no point was I like waiting for the plot point or anything. It just felt like a really beautiful story about a friendship that blossoms into a relationship.
I am so excited that you read this because I've been seeing it everywhere on Bookstagram. And
yeah.
The cover's gorgeous.
It's one of my favorite covers of the year.
But I'm just glad to hear that it lives up to the hype, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it Is it Own Voices?
It is Own Voices.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's meaningful that to hear you say that you felt like her revealing herself or better knowing herself felt very natural and that
you identified
with it.
And there's this conversation that I totally agree with, that we need queer stories that are full of joy. We need to give queer people their happily ever afters.
Yeah.
And I agree wholeheartedly. I also agree that when you're writing a story that takes place during a time where queer people were not accepted in the same way they are now, sometimes, it would, I think, be a disservice to the queer people who came before me to just pretend that their lives were so easy. And so I think that this story combines those two things beautifully. It showcases the trials and tribulations of being a queer person throughout most of history, but also giving us not just a sense of hope and a truly hopeful ending.
Ooh, I can't wait to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Melinda Lowe, if you're listening, you probably aren't. I'll send this to you anyway. Please be on our podcast. You are a delight. I love following you on Instagram.
Love that.
What's another one?
I showed the cover of this. I can't remember if it was on Instagram, TikTok, or both. A book a few weeks ago from when we were recording. It's called The Betrayals by Bridget Collins.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I remember this cover.
The cover is gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
I am so interested to see. I got a paperback galley, but I'm guessing when the hardback comes out, the parts that look gold on the cover, I'm betting they're going to be
oily.
It's gorgeous. So it's set in this exclusive boys' academy that's like tucked away in the mountains, and all the best and brightest are trained for excellence in this game called the Grand Jeu. And it's sort of this arcane and mysterious game that somehow involves math and music and philosophy. And the game is never fully explained, I think, because the whole point is that you can never fully understand it, because the point of the game is to become close to God.
Okay.
So the main character is this distinguished alumnus who's been exiled to the school and his political career is in tatters because he disagreed with the repressive and discriminatory ruling party.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he gets there and things aren't what they seem.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel really conflicted in talking about this book.
Okay.
Let's start with the good. The book is dripping in atmosphere. You're immersed in this world, like, right from the start. Bridget Collins has this amazing ability. I loved, this is going to sound crazy, her description of, like, the weather and what people are wearing. And you just felt like you were sitting there shivering in your wool cardigan, and it was
perfect.
I just hit my microphone.
She got so excited.
So sorry. You just, like, feel the wind whipping, and, like, you feel like you're a character in the room.
Oh, wow.
Here's the trickier part.
Okay.
I hadn't read any of her previous work.
Neither have I.
So I went into it really blind. It wasn't the best fit for me.
Okay.
That said, I still had to know how it ended. I read the entire thing. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I think it is a me thing.
Sure.
I think really and honestly, I think with a different reader, they would love this, and it would be a 5-star read. I think I'm the problem.
Oh.
But I still liked it, and so I don't want to give the impression that I didn't. It's just not one that I necessarily would have picked up for myself, and it's – I don't know. It was good, but I didn't love it.
And I love reading books like that because it informs two things to me. What kind of reader I am, and who I could suggest this book to. Like you're saying, like, there are books that I have read that I've thought were okay, or I thought were fine, not because they're bad books, but because they just weren't for me. And then I know, though, specifically, like, this person would love this book. And there are books that I've read, even on this podcast, that I've talked about, Oh, this is controversial and we're getting more listeners. I don't know if I want to say it again, but there was a book I read in season one, or I talked about that I read in season one, and I thought it was fine. We've talked about it. You thought it was, or I told you not to read it because it was endlessly sad. Do you know what I'm talking about now? Okay.
Yes.
I didn't hate it. I think it was beautifully written, just as everybody says. I just didn't love it. And I thought it was, but I liked it. Yeah. Most people who've read it adore it, love it. And I also know exactly who I would recommend it to. And I wouldn't feel badly recommending it to them because I didn't like it. I still liked it fine. I love reading those kind of books.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I am glad that I read it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't connect with this whole only boys play this mysterious game and talk to God and go to the school. And, you know, it's just not my jam.
Yeah. Sure. What'd you say, like 3.5 out of 5?
I would say, given all of that, I still, after I'd read like 75 pages, I knew that it wasn't a perfect fit for me. But even then, I was like, oh, I really want to know what happens.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good book. I'm not the reader for it. But 3.5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, that would not deter me from reading it, seeing 3.5 out of 5 stars. That's like kind of seeing a Rotten Tomatoes score as 50%. It's like, okay, I could go either way. I'll either be 50% that likes it or 50% that doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. What do you have?
If I could turn back the clock and rewrite my top 10 2020 books, the book I'm about to say would be the very top of that list. I am so mad that I didn't read this right when it came out. I bought it right when it came out. So this is a part of the problem. But as we were saying, I could only read books that I knew were going to make me smile the pain away.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will forever be sad that I didn't sing this praises since March of 2020.
I have no idea what it is and I can't wait.
It's called Temporary by Hillary Leichter. Ooh. I'm going to show Jill the cover.
Show me the cover. I haven't even heard of this book.
This is one of the best books I've ever read and very much a book for me, which it goes against what you're saying. Like, I wouldn't necessarily recommend this to everybody because it's very specific, but I know the people who I would recommend it to would love it. So it's about this woman who goes from temp job to temp job to temp job looking for permanence. And she comes from a long lineage of temporary workers. Like, her mother was a temporary worker. Her mother's mother was a temporary worker. And the world that this book exists in is like an alternate realistic world. Like, okay. It's a weird combination. It's kind of magical realism. It's a little bit like realistic fantasy because the rules that surround this book are the rules it created for itself. So nothing's ever explained, but you just believe it because the book believes it. Mm-hmm. Like, the temp jobs she has, the very first one she has, she's temping for like a board member of like a big company. And then he dies. And then she's supposed to he's a man about town. So then she has to carry him, his ashes in a locket, and then walk him around everywhere she goes. And then throughout the book, he like comes out and talks to her and like she can see him and then he goes to every temp job with her. And then she's a temp on a pirate ship and then she's a temp for a witch. And then she's a temp she goes into a hot air balloon and she has to press like a button that releases bombs across the world. And she has she can't not do it. And she's a temp for a hitman, and all of these things are ridiculous, but the way it's set up is like, yes, of course, this is her next temp job. It's just like this weird, not real, real world that surrounds this book with the most unbelievably witty writing. I was laughing through the whole thing, and then the end is such a surprise. Like, something that's sort of been consistent throughout the book comes back at the end in a way that I just wasn't expecting, and I could not put it down. It was like an angry read because I was so mad at how clever it was. But I just flipped through it just to read some of the sentences because they're just so funny and clever and unlike anything I've ever read.
Do you remember the Christian Robinson picture book called Another?
No.
So there's this little girl, and she goes to bed at night, and she wakes up in the night, and she goes into her closet, and it's like an alternate world. And when you explain this in a picture book, in the book, it makes sense, and it's cute, yes, and it's charming, and it's fun. But when you're trying to explain it to other adults, you're like, so she opens the closet door and she goes into another world. That's what I'm thinking of when you're just like, she's on a pirate ship.
Yes.
She's with a hitman. And I'm like, how do you be a temp for a pirate or a hitman?
Exactly.
Much less and both.
Exactly. And
what does your resume, what is on your resume that you are selected by both a pirate and a hitman?
And that's part of it too, is talking about how, like, don't forget to update your resume. Like, now that you've done this, you need to put this on your resume. And she's like, totally, yes, I'm really good about that. And something too is like, when she, there are consequences to her work. Like, when she kind of barely messes up a lot, and is what leads her to her next temp job. And I love, like, the whole time she's looking for what she thinks is permanence. And it was just so, so good. I loved every single minute of it.
I love that you loved this. Who do you, yeah, who's the reader for this book?
Okay. I think if you like George Saunders, you will like this book a lot.
Oh, okay.
And also, like, if you just like things that are just like a little off kilter, but is very confident in itself, read it. And it's so short. It's like 180 pages. Like,
oh, yeah.
I flew through it, which is not my style at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think if you just like things that are, I think a person who really likes Neil Gaiman's work for adults could probably really get into this.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I loved it.
I'm excited for you. I'm hearing it's not for me.
You know what? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm not recommending it to Jill because I don't think it's for Jill.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm excited yeah, for you about it. I love that for you.
I love that journey for you. Hit me with another one.
All right. My last recent read is Madam by Phoebe Wynn.
We've been talking about this a lot. You haven't told me much about it, though.
Oh, this book is a debut, and I could not believe it. It's set at an elite academy. This time it's for girls.
Yes.
Isn't it so weird how all of a sudden you get like multiple books where you're like, yes, what's the deal here? In this one, a youngest teacher, her name is Rose, and she's hired to head the classics department at this elite school that is supposed to be preparing girls for the future.
Okay.
And at first, she's kind of overwhelmed because they have all these very traditional rules and traditional rituals, and the staff culture is very rigid. But over time, she really connects with the girls. And you get this real kind of did you see the movie Mona Lisa Smile with Julia Roberts?
Oh, my gosh. I love Mona Lisa Smile.
Right? I could watch that a million times.
Every day. Yeah.
So it has like, you're getting that kind of vibe. And she teaches classics. And so interwoven with each chapter is a story from mythology that kind of clues you into what's going on. As the school year goes on and she becomes like more enmeshed in the school, she begins to kind of untangle that there's this whole other level to what's going on there. And I can't say anything else about it because that's the plot twist. You know the whole time that there's something else going on, but you have no idea what it is, and it's that. Okay. So this book is being marketed as it had two descriptors on NetGalley, thriller and mystery. So I was a little bit nervous when my copy came in the mail. But I really loved it, and I would not call myself a thriller or a mystery reader.
Sure.
Both kind of make me feel like the plot's going to be like super murdery.
Sure.
Or scary.
Sure.
And I don't like either of those things.
Uh-huh.
But this was much more in the vein of like suspense and intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
I was absolutely obsessed with what was going to happen. It opens with this prologue that raises – The prologue is basically the end of the book.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And you're like, what?
does this mean? What does this mean?
Yes. And so the whole time you're like, what?
Yeah.
And it leaves you with like these lingering questions. Like, it's a mystery. It's a thriller. It's gothic. It's feminine. It's feminist. It's gripping. I don't know. It's amazing and you should read it.
See, okay. Like, it's so funny because I agree with you when I think about like, I'm not, if we're talking genre, I don't tend to pick thriller or what was the other one?
Mystery.
But some of our favorite books in the last year have been books that aren't those things, but have elements of them.
Yeah.
And what is that? Like, I'm so curious about what that genre actually is.
I know. And I can't figure out, like, in my head, thriller is like scary.
Sure.
And
yes.
Full of gruesome murder and sexual assault.
Wow.
I know. I don't know why. There's something wrong with me. And mystery is like, I always picture, like, I don't know, Murder, She Wrote. Like,
right. Something like Agatha Christie.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Like, not this. Maybe
I agree.
I'm the problem.
No, I think that's the hard part about putting books into genres. I actually think this goes into the genre of what all of these books are for you, which is Jill's genre of things aren't what they seem.
Yes.
I think that's the genre we like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
This sounds so good. I think you posted about this on Instagram. I love the cover.
I did. And it was so funny. It was a rainy day here. And my house, the back of my house gets like very little natural light to start with, but it was a rainy day. And I took the picture and it ended up with this like eeriness about it, which works perfect for the cover and the plot.
Right. And yeah.
And I posted it. And Phoebe Wynn, the author, DM'd me and she was like, this photo is absolutely perfect. And I was like, I felt, you know how this is like the Midwestern in me. I couldn't just say thank you. I had to be like, oh my God, it was a complete accident, because it was.
Yeah.
You know, I was 5 seconds away from saying I got this on sale at Target.
Right.
Yeah.
I also love that this is a debut, because aren't you just getting more and more impressed with people's debut books? Because they are just like so complicated.
Yes.
And ambitious. And I'm just like, I will never be able to pull something like this off. And I'm okay with that because you are doing it.
Yeah, I have been really surprised. And before we did that episode about debuts.
Yeah.
It was something that I never really even paid attention to.
Sure.
And now I've been, if I don't know, I don't look ahead of time. But then after I finish, I like to go back and look.
Sure.
And see what else people have written. And it's just so fascinating to me when I really love something and it's a debut.
I know. It also just makes me wonder, like, I think it's because those people, yes, those are their debut books, but it's not the first time they've written anything. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's like partially, I bet it's kind of frustrating. I mean, also very exciting that their debut book is coming out, but they want to be like, I've been working towards this for a while. I hope it's as good as you say it is, because it's not like the first time I put pen to ink.
Yeah.
Pen to ink, pen to paper.
Pen to paper. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, that's totally true.
Yeah.
What do you have?
My last one is one that Jill will be joining me in very soon. I just started Revival Season by Monica West.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm starting it this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's also a debut. And I talked about this a little bit on our most anticipated 2021 reads. But I will give just like a really brief synopsis. Revival Season is about this family. And it's told through the eyes of 15-year-old Miriam Horton. And every summer, they pack up their car and they go through the South on their revival season. Her father is a man of the church. And in this world, Miriam has always been told that only men have the ability to be people who cure people through the word of God.
Yeah.
She knows she can. And she also, throughout the revival season previously, she witnessed an act of violence that involved her father that she is having to reconcile, also reconciling the fact that she knows she has this gift that everybody her entire life has told her women simply can't have. I literally just started. I am so excited about this book. I'm so excited about it for the podcast. We have some exciting things about it coming up. We've maybe announced it by now on our social. Who knows? If not, stay tuned. But yeah, so far I'm only like 30 pages in, and I'm just, again, like, how is this a debut?
I haven't opened it yet, but it is on, I'm going to finish what I'm currently reading, and then that's my next book. And I can't wait. The cover's gorgeous.
Cover is stunning.
I've seen good things about it.
Me too.
All over, you know, Bookstagram. Yeah.
It's another one of those things where, like, we heard about it early, I think because we are in the book world, so we get those updates really quickly. So we knew we were excited about it in the same way we were really excited about The Kindest Lie. And then the closer it's getting to publication, the more good press it's getting, the more I feel confident in my opinions of books.
So many people agree with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I'm excited now to kind of read this in the same year and kind of closest together with reading The Prophets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The spiritual abilities of women is so accepted and highlighted. Yes. While in conflict with Christianity coming in. Like, I just feel like this is going to be such an interesting thing to read after reading that.
Especially because that's such a good point, Jill, because The Prophets is historical fiction and Revival Season is present day. And the present day aspect doesn't make it any easier for the main character to feel like what she can do is valuable. And that is just interesting. I think that's really, really interesting. It's a really good point. I didn't think about putting those two sort of in contrast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to read it.
Me too.
And again,
oh, I am reading it.
I might have already said this. It has a gorgeous cover.
It has a stunning cover. And I think we've said that for every single book today.
Yes, I think so.
We hated the book. We loved the cover.
I definitely want to read Last Night at the Telegraph Club.
Yeah.
I haven't ordered it yet, but that is it's on my list.
Yeah, and Madam has been top of my list since you've been talking about it. I have got to read The Husbands now. And maybe I'll try The Betrayals. I really like books that I don't love. That sounds like a silly thing to say, but I think that they offer maybe more conversation than books that I just outright adore. Because I can talk about the things I loved and the things that I think could have been better. And that's ultimately what I love about books, is the conversations had.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to talk to a person who loves The Betrayals, because I suspect what would happen is they would talk about what they were enthusiastic about, and I would see the book
differently.
And yes. I would be like, oh, yes, 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 yes. And I feel like it's one of those things where if I had that perspective, my opinion could change on a dime.
But we do that all the time. Yes. I think that's totally valuable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this was so fun. I really hope you're feeling better. I don't know if our listeners could tell, but Jill popped a cough drop mid episode.
I'm on cough drop number 3, and
I didn't know that.
Our sound editor, bless her heart, because I had, I don't know, 5 coughing fits.
She's going to hear all of this, too.
All of it. I just flung a cough drop across my desk. Cough drop number 4 going in my mouth now. Yeah, it's a journey for us all.
Yeah, but it's okay. We're both fully vaccinated. Very soon, we're going to be able to do these in person. I think the energy will be so different, but like giddy little children, and I cannot wait.
I feel like our first reunion episode is going to have some kind of disclaimer, because the energy will be so chaos.
Oh, the roof of your house is going to explode.
It's
going to
be crazy.
It's going to be like children at their first sleepover.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I know that energy. That's exactly what it's going to be.
Thanks for chatting with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to me cough and eat cough drops.
Anytime. Listeners, All of these books will be on our Bookshop affiliate link if you're interested in purchasing any of them. Bookshop is such an amazing resource. They financially offer help to independent bookstores across the country. So please shop with them through us. Give us a follow over on Instagram at Book It Pod. We're also on TikTok and Twitter at Book It Pod. And for even more bookish content and updates, please visit our website at bookitpod.com.
Yay.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books.
Book It is available across podcast platforms.
Subscribe to never miss an episode, and don't forget to leave a review before you go.
We'd love to stay in touch. You can find us online at bookitpod.com or on Instagram and Twitter at bookitpod.
Want to read something you heard on today's episode? Visit us at bookshop.org/shop/bookitpod.
Book It was created by hosts Jill Burkett-Ragacy and Michael Woodson, with sound design and production by Madeline Call at Honeysuckler.